fighting for America.
As soon as we received word that we had a missing American soldier whose whereabouts were unknown, thousands of soldiers throughout all of eastern Afghanistan were ordered to stop what they were doing to search for Private Bergdahl.
Fighting for Idaho.
When you allow Washington exercising powers that were never delegated to them, it becomes the precedent to the point now the states are just sticking their hand out and hoping to get more money than the next guy.
Fighting for you.
Thank you, Kevin Miller, for coming out here to Walmart, Canyon County.
Yes.
The Women and Children's Center. It's because of you that those places are able to exist.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
Thank you very much.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And Miller's mission continues here at 580 KIDO. Look, we're having a great time. We've got Mrs. Miller here. She's made a celebrity guest appearance. We've got Chris from the Lighthouse, Terry from State College PA, Daryl and Sheila from Canyon County, Pat from Middleton giving his commentary. I'm trying to think. We've got the Reverend Bill Roscoe from the Boise Rescue Mission. Miller's mission continues here. We will get back to issues at hand here at 580 KIDO. But first, we're joined by our old friend, Mark Corkin, from the Center for Immigration Studies. And Mark is an American and someone who loves America. I have to ask you something totally unrelated. Your thoughts on the Bo Bergdahl story and the reaction in Washington and throughout the world.
Well, I mean, this is just me talking. It has nothing to do with Center for Immigration Studies. But, you know, if the guy was a deserter, why would we trade dangerous captives for him? It just doesn't, I don't buy it. It doesn't make sense.
And yet that seems to happen. I just have to wonder what the fallout is. And you that study the law, know the law, and again, this is you talking, it's amazing that we have people in Congress and throughout the world saying that the president broke the law.
Well, he did, but I mean, is that really a surprise? 6 years or 5.5 years after this guy's sworn in? I mean, he does it in everything else. He does it in immigration, of course, and Obamacare, health, environmental areas. So, you know, why would they bother to even check what the law is? They just have this sense that he won an election, so he gets to do anything he wants to do, period. So it's no surprise at all.
Let's talk a little about something that was gaining national attention before the Bergdahl case and the VA scandal, the continued push for amnesty. What's the latest?
Well, the most recent effort was to try to attach a tiny amnesty to a defense authorization bill. In other words, an amnesty that would allow certain illegal aliens to join the military and thereby get citizenship. Now, the number of people who would have been covered would have been tiny, you know, maybe a few hundred a year, maybe. But a couple of things torpedoed it. First of all, once you turn the lights on and expose that this is what they were trying to do, you know, all the, as the image goes, all the cockroaches ran away for their cracks in the kitchen because, you know, once it was obvious what they were trying to do here, attach an amnesty to a military bill, it made it hard to push. One of the reasons that really got people angry about it was that we are now actually pink slipping, laying off combat experienced American officers and enlisted personnel because of the downsizing of the military. And so why would we then open enlistment to illegal aliens? In other words, replacing American soldiers with illegal immigrants. That's part of what really ticked people off. But the important part as far as the inside baseball of Congress goes is that even though this was a tiny thing that maybe would have covered a couple hundred people a year, the point of the House leadership in doing this, and John Boehner and Eric Cantor, was to send it over to the Senate, where Harry Reid, who basically agrees with John Boehner and Eric Cantor on immigration, they have the same immigration views, would be able to stick a bigger amnesty into it, use that as kind of the camel's nose under the tent, send it back to the House, and then because it was part of the defense bill, they would have had to vote for it. And that tactic was just so repugnant to people that even some of the Democrats in the Senate said, wait, you know, we can't do that. That's just not right.
Mark, let's take a look at some other things here at 580KIDO. Apparently, there's massive amounts of illegals coming into Arizona, kids being dropped off. What's the latest there?
Yeah, that is actually the fallout from what's happening in South Texas. South Texas now, for a couple of years, has been seeing this surge in illegal immigration. you know, for all the president's talk about how this whole situation's all fixed and we have the border under control, South Texas, it's literally it's surging out of control there. And what's most recently happened is that large numbers of unaccompanied minors are being smuggled by smuggling rings into Texas. What it is their illegal alien parents in the United States are looking at what the administration is doing, which is they're not enforcing the law. They're actually giving legal status now to more than 500,000 illegal immigrants who came as kids. And they're saying, look, we better, you know, let's take our opportunity now and have our own kids smuggled in, and Obama, who's our friend, will let them stay. And so you're seeing thousands. This year, they think something like 60,000 unaccompanied minors, they call them. They're not really unaccompanied because paid smugglers are bringing them in. I wouldn't give my kid to a paid smuggler, even if he was living in El Salvador. But that's what people are doing. And the rate this is increasing, they think that the next year's total will be double that, 130,000 unaccompanied minors. And what this administration is doing is using that as an opportunity to basically negate immigration control, because they're saying we're not going to send these kids back. They are they're actually using this word. They are resettling them in the United States, dealing with this almost like as a refugee issue where the law doesn't matter. And all that does is send the signal back to Central America that all the rest of you should all come up here while the getting is good before the Americans change their mind.
Mark, what about the Republicans? Why do they continue to try and push for an amnesty deal?
Well, two reasons. One, the kind of crude reason, but it's part of it, is giant bags of money from corporate lobbyists. They want cheap labor, and the you know Republicans, a lot of them, are very receptive to these cheap labor lobbyist claims. The other thing is that they imagine, a lot of Republicans have this idea that if only they adopt Obama's position on immigration, they will get more Hispanics to vote for them. It's sort of ridiculous. I mean, it's not sort of, it is completely ridiculous. It's a childish almost, and yet, you know, this is, they see this as kind of a shortcut, a magic bullet to dealing with their problems in recruiting more Hispanic voters.
Yeah, that's the thing that, and that you have, whether it's Marco Rubio or others saying, Rand Paul saying that the GOP needs to expand, and Lindsey Graham that the GOP has a Hispanic problem. But you take a look at the governments that these folks are coming from. They're big governments. They're totalitarian, so they're used to the nanny state. And why in the world would you cut off or vote for a party that's going to cut off your programs that are you're benefiting from?
Yeah, and, you know, there's been a lot of research on this by all kinds of people that don't have an axe to grind. And what they found is that Hispanic voters, broadly speaking, are big government liberals. Not all of them. There's a good size chunk that aren't. And those people Republicans can, in fact, reach. And a lot of them vote Republican anyway. But on the whole, Hispanic voters are big government liberals. One, let me just give you one statistic. This was done by the Pew Research Center, which is a liberal but an honest organization. They asked people, a whole bunch of people, what is your reaction to the words capitalism and the word socialism? And what they found is that Hispanics had the most negative response to the word capitalism of any group they checked. Even people who said they supported Occupy Wall Street liked capitalism more than Hispanic voters. So, you know, the point is not that they're bad people. All kinds of people have those views. But why would you have an immigration policy that imports more and more people who just inevitably, not for bad reasons, they're just going to vote for the other party? It's not about people who are here now, but about immigration policy tomorrow. It's just irrational.
Mark Krikorian with us. Kevin Mill in the morning, 580 KIDO, Center for Immigration Studies. So, what happens if the spigot isn't turned off? And I have to admit, I don't see anybody that's turning the dial there.
Well, I mean, that's a good point. If immigration policy, and this isn't just illegal immigration, but legal immigration policy, isn't, you know, dialed back so we end up with a more moderate level of immigration than the 1 million plus per year that move here legally. The prospects for small government conservatism as a national viable political movement are really pretty dim. The Republican Party will survive no matter what because they'll just become more and more liberal as the electorate becomes more and more liberal because of immigration. But conservatism cannot survive without a more moderate level of immigration, which both will import fewer big government voters, but also give conservatives time and the immigrants themselves time to, work on for the conservatives to persuade more and more immigrants. Over time, it might work. But look at what happened with regard to the last immigration wave. The grandchildren of a lot of those people didn't really become more, they didn't become Republicans, but more of them became Republicans, not really until Reagan. We're talking something like 100 years after the start of the previous immigration wave. It takes a long time for things like that to change. It doesn't just happen overnight, but one of the reasons it happens, but it happened last time, is because we reduced immigration. We had something like 50 years of pretty low immigration, allowing immigrants and their children and their grandchildren to basically, become more assimilated. And a lot of them kept voting Democrat, but their voting behavior became more like the rest of the country. And that can't happen if you just keep immigration going at a million a year forever.
Mark, tell me about the fallacy of the argument that we need to bring in guest workers. And I cannot say this enough at 580KIDO because Congressman Labrador believes in the guest worker program. He's on board to help the Republicans with the immigration deal. He's been quoted in front page of the Washington Times about this. So one of his major talking points is that we don't have enough smart people to work in these high-tech jobs. We always ask you about this because a lot of folks never get the information that you have. What's wrong with his argument that we don't have enough American engineers, we have to import them?
Yeah, I mean, that's just the numbers just don't show that. Nobody who has looked into this, and again, people all across the spectrum, Brookings Institution, the Rand Corporation, Pew Hispanic Center, I mean, people who are not, politically involved in the immigration debate, all find that there is simply no such thing as a shortage of potential technical workers. Now, we just did a study on this recently, and we looked at people who have degrees in science and technology. There's twice as many of them as there are jobs in science and technology, and the wages that are paid to people in these technical and scientific fields have not shot up in the way that you would expect they would if there was a shortage. The one technical area where wages have shot up is exactly the place you would expect it, petroleum engineers. Because of the fracking boom, the people who do that are now making more and more money. Well, that's a good thing. But the point is, it does show that all the other areas of technical and engineering and scientific fields, there isn't that kind of increase because there is no shortage.
What are we looking for next, Mark, when we're talking about the amnesty push? Every time I see these stories, I think of you. You've been a tireless worker in bringing the truth for many, many years. Well before I came to 580KIDO, I've had you on in just about every place I've been. What dangers are we facing, and could we see a Republican capitulation to amnesty?
Well, we could, I think this year we're relatively safe. It doesn't mean that they won't try, but I just don't think there's going to be an amnesty on the president's desk by the end of this year. The danger, if you call it that, is if the Republicans take the Senate, which I'm a Republican, so I mean I'm for that, but that also presents a potential problem because if the Republicans have the House and the Senate, they then may figure, let's do, our own version of an amnesty bill and see and kind of make the president sign, and that way we can take credit for it somehow. It's a fantasy, but that I think is what they're going to want to try to do. But for this year, I just don't see any way they're going to be able to push, actually get an amnesty through Congress. They're going to try, but I don't think they're going to succeed.
Mark, we appreciate it. If people want some more information, what can they do?
We're online at CIS.org, the Center for Immigration Studies. So CIS.org. All of our publications are there, and we have a blog with every day there's new things being posted, sort of mini stories as well.
Thank you for your great work, sir.
Well, thanks a lot. Bye.
You're listening to Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Let's get you to work safe.
Miller's mission is underway thanks to Team Mazda, Airstream Adventures Northwest, and the Boise Rescue Mission. Now, from the Garrity Walmart, here's Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
As we move along Miller's mission, we've got the Reverend Bill Roscoe. We've got our friend Chris from the Lighthouse. Chris, it's been like 7 years since you've been on.
I feel that old.
Well,
you haven't changed.
We try to keep Chris away from the mic, you know. He's much better in the Lighthouse.
No. Chris, good to have you with us, though.
Thank you, Kevin. And again, thank you for what you do. And, I was talking with Terry, and what you do is not just to highlight giving for a one moment in time, but you stress to make giving a living. Part of your life, and that's what you do. So thank you for that.
Well, you know, you're right next to Reverend Bill. Don't tell Gene Lockhart that, but I think you're great. And you know, Reverend Bill and Reverend Bill jump in here, but you know, if we can get Chris to tell us a little bit about working in the old Lighthouse to the new Lighthouse.
Oh boy, it's like night and day, Kevin, that's for sure. And you know that. You've been in both those facilities.
And you know, you guys gave me a plaque where it's the four of us at that old facility. And if you could both talk about the miracle that made this happen, the miracle that made the Valley Women and Children's Shelter happen.
Well, with the Lighthouse, Kevin, as you know, we had a plan for several years.
And remember, I remember talking to both of you and Gene saying, hey, you know, Kevin, we're going to have to come up with a capital campaign. And
yeah,
that's a lot of money.
Yeah, it was a lot of money, and it was a little bit tough sledding along the way raising that money. But once again, you know, once we made the need known to the people in the valley, people stepped up and really blessed mm-hmm. us and really helped us to get that building bought and remodeled and moved into. And we're just amazed at the generosity of the people. We're amazed at how God stirs people up, and they just come from everywhere to give. And it's a wonderful thing. Now, the Valley Women and Children's Shelter came along as we were in process building the new lighthouse.
Well, it's not like you have a money tree either.
No, we
I
don't.
Mean, this is a, I mean, you're, you know, getting a new lighthouse and then taking this new project on. And I remember I go, you know, that's a heck of a load.
You know, a lot of people told me that we were losing our collective minds at the rescue mission.
And probably those uncertain words or more. Yeah,
something like that. Yes. Bill, you're nuts kind of thing. But, And you know, frankly, Kevin, it wasn't an easy decision. It took a long time to come to the decision that we would go ahead and try to buy that Valley Crisis Center building and reopen it. But we set some clear standards. We set some goals and said, okay, if we're going to buy this building, we have to find the money outside of the money that we already have and outside of the money that we're trying to raise to rebuild the lighthouse, number one. And number two, we have to have $150,000 in the bank before we open. Because I'm not going to open that thing up, bring women and kids in, and then chase them all down the road 2 months later because we can't afford to run it. So those were the two primary criteria. And as soon as we came to that conclusion, I mean, a couple of days later, a lady came along and called one of our board members and said, I want to help you out with that building. I'm going to write you a check to buy it. And she did. And
for $250,000
mm-hmm. to buy the building, one check. And as soon as we had that check, the gifts to open and sustain that mm-hmm. place started coming in, and pledges came in. And so in short order, we did a $70,000 remodel on that building, painting, cleaning, new water heaters, furnaces, things like that. And when we opened, we still had over $150,000 in reserves for operations. And the giving designated for the Valley Women and Children's Shelter has been very, very strong since the day we opened the doors. So there you go. You know, God stirring up people, God inspiring people, and we being the vehicle that the people in God could use to help the homeless and hungry women and kids of this valley made it all come together. And, of course, you know, friends like you, Kevin, and I mean that very sincerely, well, keeping it in front of people, letting people know the need, coming down here and going over to the lighthouse and going to the river and going to City Light, giving your time and your commitment, such as it is to the rescue mission, that helps to inspire people.
Well, you guys inspire us, and our friend Chris is an inspiration. Tell us about the new lighthouse and the changes, the old facility to the new facility, what it's meant to the residents, what it's how it's benefited folks, not only in Canyon County, but throughout our area.
Wow, so much information. I will try to cliff note all that. As Reverend Bill said, it is night and day, going from a building that our last, pretty much our last week there, we had 19 buckets sitting in the chapel area.
19 buckets.
Catching water. to go to a nicely refurbished, remodeled building. One small challenge, I say small, has been going from a one-story to a two-story. It's just trying to get it in our collective minds how to operate now in a two-story facility. But then we also went from a facility that had 66 beds to now 94 beds, which is 70 for our overnight guest and program guest population, and up to 24 for our in-house drug and alcohol program. And so, you know, we have a great staff, and we've been able to get order and structure there just like we had at the old shelter. And, in fact, our first or second night there, we had a huge population of just the overnight guests filling almost every bed. And within a week, all the beds were filled, and we were having to put men on mattresses. And so on average, during February, March, April, we were serving about 10 more men a night than what we did the previous year in the old shelter. And so we helped to meet that need there. Meal-wise, I was astonished, I have to say. I didn't think that it would happen this quick. But the month of March, we opened in mid-February at our new shelter. But the month of March, compared to March last year, saw 700 more meals served. And what we attribute that to is being in an area that has a greater need. And it's highlighted in my mind that not only is our goal to help to transform people out of the state of homelessness into the state of being self-sufficient, independent, productive citizens, but our goal is also to keep people from being homeless. And that's what we do, I believe, through, at the Lighthouse Shelter especially, our meals are open to the public, men, women, and children. And our goal is to help those basically paycheck-to-paycheck kind of families to stretch their funds. And meals is just one way that can be done.
One of the things I've appreciated a lot, Kevin, is the fact that our dining room is very user-friendly at the new Lighthouse Mission. Mm-hmm. And so ladies and children are really more inclined to come and have meals right with us. Whereas in the old Lighthouse, I don't know the numbers, maybe Chris does, but we saw very few women and women right with children coming for meals. In the new Lighthouse, we have women and children at almost every single meal, and not just one.
Sure. Let's talk about the need here this summer. We've heard it from Reverend Bill. What about you, Chris?
Well, the need is I believe the same year round. In that, you know, we not only do we have the men and women at our shelters that are in programs, but we still have people come to us. I know the women's shelter they end up seeing more women and children, I believe, during the summer. The men are more apt, unfortunately, to want to stay outdoors, but also more men are able to travel on to other locations, to where there is more work. But that doesn't lessen the need that we have. We are still providing more meals at our shelter than we did at our old one at this time of the year. You know, the men still need clothing. They still need shoes. They still need...
And that's where you come in here at the Walmart, whether mm-hmm. you're donated items or you're buying items. And I would encourage people to bring your donated items. O from Eagle goes, hey, Kevin, what can I bring? You can bring any clothing item for men and children and such, mm-hmm. but really the diapers as well. I think the diapers is the big thing for the ladies. We'll have much more with our friends from the Boise Rescue Mission next at 580KIDO.
Thank you to everyone who has supported both.
He deserted his post willfully and purposely.
This is like a slap in the face. Leave him and his family alone. Leave the city of Haley alone.
There's something wrong with the world today. In the summertime, we see more women and children checking into the shelter than at any other time of the year.
They're scared when they come in. They don't know what's going to happen.
We have consulted with Congress.
I strongly believe that we should have been consulted.
Don't forget God in this whole matter, because God cares more than anyone does about every single breathing person on the face of the earth.
And my friends, we need that now more than ever.
Making sense of a senseless world, Kevin Miller in the Morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And here we are, Miller's mission continuing. Thank you, Airstream Adventures Northwest Boise, Team Mazda Subaru, and the Boise Rescue Mission. We are taking your calls at 580-5436 on the Bergdahl situation, the White House overriding internal objections from the Pentagon, from the intelligence community to get him released. You just take a look at the Drudge Report, and I'll just simply give it to you right now here. Did Obama, you know, Obama saved a rat? We have the video of Bergdahl's release at 580kido.com. He appears to be in good health. He had been made to look ill. You have Qatar now actually allowing the released Taliban to run wild and free. And really, it's a slap in the face that this video has been released, because our government did not want us to see it. But the Taliban said, we'll do whatever we want. We will talk more about that in a minute. Joined once again by our friend Chris from the Lighthouse and Reverend Bill from the Boise Rescue Mission. Anything else that you would like to say before we get back to regularly scheduled programming here about the significance of donating in the summer, whether it's at this Walmart till Saturday at 6 or any Walmart? And we thank all the Walmarts for their partnership, great community partners. But again, we think about y'all in the winter, but not in the summer.
Summertime is definitely what we would call our lean months. And Reverend Bill can...
The lean months. The lean months.
Financially lean months, because when people, families are on vacation, a lot of times so is the giving.
Yeah, and for some of us, a lean month is not getting a cup of coffee. For you, people might not get a meal.
Right. That's right. But God continues to provide. He continues to meet the need. Our staff are real good at taking what comes in food-wise, and to still make delicious, nutritious meals. But all in general, yes, the giving does drop, and many times we do have to tighten that belt down to one or two more notches. And
folks, that's why we need your help. Yep. That's why we need you to donate, BoiseRM.org. We want to thank everyone who has stopped by, but we've got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and throughout the summer. You know, just because I'm not here doesn't mean that the need does not continue, and we need you folks now more than ever.
That's a very good point, Kevin, and as Chris rightly said, we don't see a decrease in the numbers of people we're serving in the summer, but we do see a decrease in the amount of dollars coming in for support. We still have the light bill, the cooling bill, all the vehicles have to run. We got kids to transport here and there. Summer program for children is just kicking off. It's going to be in full tilt here in a couple of weeks. 50, 60 kids a day being cared for by our staff at City Light and the Valley Women and Children's Shelter. It takes money to run all these things, folks, and we know money's tight. I know it as well as anyone else does, but give what you can. And once again, Kevin Miller, thank you from the bottom of my heart and on behalf of all of us at the Rescue Mission, and particularly the people we're serving. Thank you for this extraordinary effort to help us.
Well, we appreciate it. We're going to continue on here. Gentlemen, thank you. Much more coming up, 580-5436. 580-KIDO, this is what people are talking about.
We have consulted with Congress for quite some time about the possibility that we might need to execute a prisoner exchange in order to recover Sergeant Bergdahl.
Given the past briefings and concerns that we had addressed, I strongly believe that we should have been consulted, that the law should have been followed.
Aaron and Cuna.
And I very much regret that that was not the case.
This is a man
Aaron
who signed up to serve his country, who went to battle wearing the uniform of the United States. We don't know what happened in the time he was there. We don't know what happened.
Said he just walked off. He wasn't captured, in a battlefield or anything. He just walked off the base.
This decision to bring Sergeant Bergdahl home, and we applaud that he is home, is ill-founded, it is a mistake, and it is putting the lives of American servicemen and women at risk, and that, to me, is unacceptable.
There you have it, the words of John McCain at 580KIDO. What say you? Let's go to Aaron in CUNA at 580KIDO. Good morning, Aaron.
Morning, Kevin. Listen, one aspect of this I haven't heard here locally, at least, being talked about. I feel personally like we here in the Treasure Valley have been lied to. And the reason why I feel like that is for the last 5 years we've heard a lot about Bergdahl and you know, prisoner of war and all this other stuff, and only to come to find out that it's been known for quite a while that this allegation of desertion was there, that he walked from the base, that he even potentially is a traitor to the service and to this country. And that for the last 5 years, the media in this valley has been playing on the emotions of the people to, you know, to rally and to, you know, have all these different things and the yellow ribbons and all that stuff. And I personally feel like we've been lied to. And I feel like the media here is complacent with what is going on today. I think partially the media, both radio and TV, is partially to blame for allowing this lie to continue for as long as it has and not exposing it for what it is.
Aaron, what about the idea that the media, like everybody else, was misled?
The media is misled. It's been out there, apparently. I mean, there's reports going back to 2010.
Yeah, but, nobody...
I can't be a journalist. Can the media be a journalist for us?
Well, first of all, to expect that from the local media is something. And, look, if you're criticizing... You know, I'll take the criticism. I was a big supporter of the Bergdahls. I did the walk. I believed in them, and nobody talked until now. The Michael Hastings piece was damning, but nobody really covered that. We covered it. We tried to get Mr. Hastings on. That's one point of view. But when the military clamps down, I mean, everybody's talking now that he's back. But remember, nobody, including these soldiers that have come forward now, would talk then. So what does the media do? Investigate it themselves? They've got to find out whether or not we're using styrofoam lunch trays in a garbage container at school lunches. All right, Aaron, thank you for the call. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. But, look, I'm a media critic, but you can't really blame the local media. In fact, I would always suggest to them that they should have done more on the Bergdahls. But Mr. Bergdahl didn't want to talk. The Army wasn't going to talk, but remember what Kerry Patton said. And I remember ML from MinutemanRx.com mentioning this to me yesterday, along with Tea Party Bob. Kerry Patton said, look, there's a lot of things going on that you don't know that I do, and I can't tell you. I do know this. This is only the tip of the iceberg when we're talking about the reaction to the Bergdahls. They're not going to make a statement. They're not going to defend Bo. They're not. They don't play the media game. They haven't played it before now. There's no incentive for them to play it. So what we're hearing is one part of the narrative. And is that enough for you to decide that Bo Bergdahl is guilty of all the allegations against him? 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Those are issues we will be talking about. We've got our friend Isaac Moffat, Tea Party Bob, Daryl and Sheila, Pat from Middleton, who's doing his own version of a talk show, as he always does here. The gang is all here. But we still would love to hear from you at 580-5436. Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Miller's Mission continues. Do want to thank Team Mazda Subaru. We want to thank Airstream Adventures Northwest Boise and the Boise Rescue Mission. We want to thank everybody that's donated, but we still have Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday. Four more days for your donations, whether it's diapers, whether it's gently used clothing, whether it's cash. We'd love to see you. Stop out and see us, and I don't know how long... Tea Party Bob will be here signing autographs and taking bids on the collector's items, Tea Party Bob t-shirts, but we'll find out more on that in a minute. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580KIDO. Let's get you to work safely.
Hey, Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Now, Tea Party Bob, don't be cussing. Let's go to Pat in Caldwell at 580KIDO. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning. I just want to say, if
if our government knew that Private Bergdahl was a deserter and still promoted him while he was in captivity, we're so screwed up, I don't know if that there's any way back.
Oh, that's a good point, that they promoted him. If he's so bad, why did they promote him?
Exactly. You don't promote deserters. And I don't know the truth. Hopefully we'll know it someday, but common sense.
Well, Pat, what do you think? You think he did it or what? I guess we won't know from Pat. It'll remain a mystery for quite some time. The eerie silence of a conversation gone bad. Time for traffic. For Kevin Miller here at 580KIDO. Coming up tomorrow, much more on Miller's Mission. Your phone calls on the Bergdahl story. Now, I love people that just read the newspaper and all of a sudden they're instant experts. One thing I do know is there are two sides to the story. As disturbing as it is, we'll give you both sides and let you decide as we continue on to wake you up and start your day. Do appreciate you. Stop by and see us, Walmart, Garrity, and Franklin. Help out the Boise Rescue Mission. Good day. God bless. Keep the faith. Serving Emma.